Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 13, verses 3 through 9. This is a familiar scripture, but I invite you to listen to it, picture it in your mind, and we'll give you a chance to share any insights or words or phrases that reach out and touch you this morning. Jesus told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on the good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears, anybody here? Listen. Were there any words or phrases or images that you pictured that stand out for you this morning? Sharon. Seeds falling on good earth and growing and multiplying 100-fold plus. Tammy.
I think when you take the minute, and I think that's a great vision.
Yeah. Just good to picture this. Parables are wonderful for that, painting pictures. Jesus was good at that. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Well, I was thinking that it would be fun this summer to preach on some of our favorite parables. And besides, Melanie kind of nudges me to give her some sermons ahead of time to plan the music. I picked this first parable, usually called the sower, to get a head start, because it is time for planting. And in addition, as I mentioned, last Wednesday was Earth Day, observed by people around the world as a day to celebrate God's gift of God's good creation, but also to remind ourselves to take care of this good gift. And as I mentioned, this year's theme is our power, our planet. And we can include God in our power to make a difference with God's power. And our extra warm winter and spring this year remind us of how important this is. So, just a curiosity. With that in mind, how many of you have had thoughts of climate change this year? It's hard not to, looking at what's going on around us. Now, we also see a lot of emphasis on exploring space again, and that's probably a good idea too, but not as an alternative for caring for this planet. I'd say both and rather than either or. They're both important, kind of like, as Jesus teaches us, like living for today and living for the kingdom of God. Again, I would lean toward both and. I think Jesus would as well. Living for God's kingdom in today's world is often complicated. It is difficult to live by hard and fast rules for doing so, Which I think is why Jesus offered us parables to help us to learn to see and think about God's world and God's very near kingdom in new ways. Perhaps even to disturb our normal patterns of thinking and behavior. My former professor, Dr. Eugene Boring, explains that parables usually begin in the familiar world of the hearer, as Tammy was mentioning, that we can picture in our mind what Jesus is talking about. But then they present a different vision of the world, challenging the everyday expectations that we carry. So if a parable makes you feel comfortable in your present thinking and circumstance, then you might wonder if you are hearing it correctly. I'm looking forward to digging into the rich soil of Jesus' parables in the coming weeks. Now, in the Gospel of Matthew, where today's parable is found, Jesus again found himself in the midst of conflict. He was experiencing rejection by the leaders of Israel, and he had just ignored his own mother and brothers, identifying a new kind of community where his true mother and brother and sister is the one who does the will of God. Now, I don't think that was to the exclusion of his own family. Again, both and. But those who do the will of God, Jesus claims as his family. Thus, we should hear in the sower a commentary and perhaps even a judgment upon the Jewish establishment, the status quo. The sower seems pretty straightforward as we read it, especially if we were to skip ahead to the interpretation which the author reports Jesus giving to the disciples. "Hear the parable of the sower," he began, "who sows seeds on the path, the rocky ground among thorns, and on good soil. The results are pretty obvious, or are they?" In this interpretation, we see the focus being on good soil. The sower is one who shares the word of the kingdom freely and haphazardly, tossing some to those who are like the path, where the good news is easily snatched away. The sower then shares with those who are like rocky ground, where good news is accepted quickly, but with no depth of understanding. So it withers away in the heat of life's many challenges. Next, the good news is shared with those who have many distractions. Any of us deal with that? Conflicting loyalties, greed, and it's soon choked out in the confusion. But lastly, the good news is shared with those of depth and understanding, where that good news takes deep root and produces great fruit. Now, note in this interpretation that it specifically speaks of fruit rather than just producing more seed, meaning that the good soil produces those who are then able to produce more fruit and thus more seed, for producing even more fruit and more seed. That is how we can picture it easily yielding 30, 60, 100-fold or more increase. Disciples of Jesus, if we follow this metaphor, are called not just to gather new followers of Jesus, but to help them become disciples who then grow new followers and disciples who then grow new followers and disciples who then grow into a new organization, a new faith community, where the good news will deeply take root and grow. And then reproduce new growth. We can still hear this challenge today. How can we be good soil that has depth and understanding, but is not cluttered already with competing loyalties and distractions? How can we participate in growing God's kingdom? I hope this means more than just filling pews on Sunday morning, because churches today are not finding as much success in filling empty pews. And perhaps our calling is also both and planting real seeds to grow food for our neighbors and care for our endangered soil, water, and air all around us. Surely Jesus is still sowing seeds, but are we offering good soil for those seeds? Are we truly entering the new community that Jesus established even when the world's establishment turned against him? There is some consolation in looking at the original disciples of Jesus. Jesus sent them out into ministry, and they had limited success. During Jesus' ministry and life on earth, a few, and sometimes big crowds, but not great numbers, followed him. And we know that when people finally realized what kind of Messiah Jesus was, one who would die on a cross to show his love, they scattered. Even his disciples, his closest friends, betrayed and denied him and ran away. They were not producing much fruit, hiding away behind locked doors. Where was the good news then? Well, the good news was resurrection. Jesus himself was planted in a tomb. But 3 days later, Jesus rose from the grave into new life, kingdom life, abundant life. And as Jesus appeared to the disciples and other followers, his new community came back together with new life and soon with a powerful spirit. Soon the disciples became apostles who began to produce fruit and seed for God's kingdom. Those who previously had been mostly rocky and weedy soil, who had produced next to nothing, soon were bearing fruit 100-fold, some 60, some 30, but producing fruit. Now look what happened. Did the disciples do anything to make themselves better soil, to produce better fruit, to build God's kingdom? Not so much on their own. It wasn't until God planted Jesus in the tomb and raised him to new life on Easter Sunday. Not until God started growing the kingdom. Jesus' resurrection was the first glimpse of that new kingdom reality on earth. It wasn't until God started producing kingdom fruit that the apostles joined in. And through the Holy Spirit, began producing fruit themselves. You see, what I'm getting at is, I have a problem with our normal focus, even in this parable, that kingdom growth somehow depends on us becoming good soil. You see, as soon as God's kingdom depends solely on our efforts, then our theology has become very shallow soil. Can't God grow the kingdom on the path if he wants to? Or in rocky soil? Or among the weeds? Look around us. We know that God does that all the time. And thank God for this. If God waited for me to be good enough soil, Not much would likely get done through my own efforts. I think we all realize the truth in our limited abilities and need for God's help. But what we need to see in this parable that is really exciting, and I think truly world-changing, is that the sower, Jesus Christ, keeps on throwing that seed. That's the way they planted seeds back then. They just threw it out, and wherever it landed was where it grew or not. So Jesus continues throwing that seed on all kinds of soil. Hard and crusty, rocky, weed-choked. Yet Jesus keeps on sowing seeds and raising up and resurrecting disciples who Jesus then raises up with them more disciples, more fruit, more seeds, more disciples, more fruit, more seed for God's kingdom. Jesus keeps tossing seeds of the kingdom seemingly haphazardly on anyone and everyone. Is there anyone he's not planting seeds? The good news of this parable to me is that Jesus keeps using all kinds of soil, all kinds of people to grow God's kingdom. So Jesus can even use you and me. Now, don't go filling your soil with rocks and weeds and other garbage to make things more difficult for Jesus. It probably wouldn't hurt for us to spend some time tilling our own soil, not just here in worship, but during the week, spending some time in prayer, in a study group, reading the Bible or a daily devotion. Spend some time with the sower. Don't wait until you somehow get your own soil and your own life all together. Remember, Jesus is still tossing out those seeds to anyone and everyone, and he's inviting us to join him in tossing out those seeds to anyone and everyone. We're all invited into God's kingdom, into that community that does the will of God, that shares the seeds of God's kingdom right here on earth, just as it is. Jesus is sowing seeds in your life. Are you growing fruit? Fruit that also sows seeds for others? Our take-home question to consider: how is Jesus sowing seeds in your soil today? And here at First Christian Church, will you pray with me? We thank you, O God, that you don't just give up on us. Events like last night in Washington, events in the Middle East, in Europe, in so many places in Africa, pretty much all across this globe, this good creation that you have given us, we're doing anything but sowing seeds for fruit and seeds of your kingdom. But God, you're still at work, and we thank you for that, that you're at work in our lives. You haven't given up on us. You haven't given up on this church. You haven't given up on this community or this nation and this good creation. We just see a small glimpse of what's possible in your kingdom. Abundance is possible for everyone and all. Help us to see that vision of your kingdom as it can be and as we can be a part of planting seeds. We thank you for the love you have shown to us in this Easter season where we celebrate Jesus' great gift of his own life and the power of your resurrection that can reach into our lives. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.